Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women. This is Betty Alpern and Nancy Holmes interviewing Mrs. David Labowitz on May 13, 1976.
Mrs. Labowitz, would you please tell us a little something about your background, where you were born, and some of your early childhood recollections concerning your family, your education, and we can go from there on to other things.
I was born in Newport News, Virginia. My parents left there when I was 6 months of age to move to Morgantown, West Virginia, where my mother had a sister living who persuaded the family to come to a town where she was living. I don't remember too much about my very early childhood, except that we had a lot of fun. We lived on the outskirts of this metropolis, and when my father had a clothing store, a men's furnishing store, and as he succeeded over a period of time, he finally decided to move the family to a residential section. And I remember my mother saying to us, we were hoydens, and I remember my mother saying to us, now we're moving to a different neighborhood and you must learn to be ladies. We went to school in this particular neighborhood. I did not know that I was Jewish.
How many were in the family?
5 girls.
And what were your parents' names?
Rebecca and Ben Green.
So you moved across town to a
residential neighborhood. And I went to school in the neighborhood, not knowing that I was Jewish, until one day, I think I was in the 5th or 6th grade, when a girl approached me and said something about my father coming over with a pack on his back. As it happened, my father came over at a very early age. And I didn't know what that meant until my parents told me. And so we had quite a little rumpus about it. And this girl's mother called my mother and asked her what the problem was. They were people of stature because her father was president of a glass company and her mother had been a school teacher. And my mother told her what had happened. And over the years, we became very close friends. The first thing my mother did was to invite her to our house for a Friday night so that she would know that we ate at the table and used knives and forks. And from that point on, we became quite close, and it was a close relationship for many, many years, long after we were out of school.
And during your childhood, you had no religious training in a formal sense?
No.
Whatever you did was practiced in the home. And when you finished grade school, did you attend the high school in Morgantown?
I attended 1 year, I think. And at the urging of my piano teacher, my parents sent me to a boarding school in Roanoke, Virginia, to study with a particular piano teacher who only took 5 students. And I gave 2 recitals while I was there.
Sounds as though you were looking forward to a professional career as a
musician.
I wasn't,
my parents were.
Who was this teacher? This piano teacher?
Miss Hatte. And she had been a student of Les Chitiskis.
Now, before we go on with your education in Virginia, could we go back to the activities and your place in the community of Morgantown, both you and your father, your family, his participation in whatever communal things were going on?
My father was very active in almost anything that went on in Morgantown. He was the director of one of the banks.
And this was quite early.
Yes.
Most unusual.
Were there many other Jewish families in the town?
At this time, my only recollection was of a family of cousins by the name of Wolf, our family, and a family by the name of Oppenheimer.
So that your father was an active man in the community, yeah. And apparently religion had nothing to do with that, or you mentioned something while we were talking prior to this about him being invited to join the country club. And I suppose he did participate in whatever other activities. May we ask a little something about your father and his activities with not only the community, but with the college, West Virginia University there?
He had a very close relationship with the university. Many of the professors lived in our neighborhood around us, and the registrar, Mr. Hare, was a very close friend of my father's. And my father was involved with all community activities, a director of a bank.
You mentioned something about young Jewish boys from New York City coming to the university.
When Jewish students found it was difficult to get into medical schools throughout the eastern area, they began coming into the University of West Virginia, which had just started a medical program. It was a 2-year course, and when the students finished that course, they were sent to Jefferson Medical School in Philadelphia. My father was a very close friend of the dean of the medical school, a Dr. Simpson. And when enough Jewish boys had come as students, my father decided that they should have a fraternity of their own, because fraternities played a very large, important part in the scholastic life in the town. He was instrumental in bringing in Pi Lambda Phi fraternity. That was the first Jewish fraternity. Now there are many.
Was your mother active in the community in spite of keeping busy with 5 daughters?
No, she wasn't. She was a very happy, gay, almost frivolous woman who enjoyed her daughters and her husband.
It sounds like a very close
family. It was. A very close family. And still is. That's even wonderful. Though our parents are gone.
Are all the sisters still living?
Yes.
That's wonderful. May we go back to your experiences in Virginia when you went away to school?
My major was piano, of course. Took the typical academic courses, but piano was my major, at which I spent most of my time. I gave 2 recitals while I was there.
How many years were you there?
3.
Is piano very much your life, a part of your life now?
I don't even own a piano today, but I studied all my life, even after I was married, until just recent years.
Now, from Virginia, from your boarding school, what did you where did you go? And we'd like to know a little something about how you met your husband.
When I was through in Virginia, I returned to my home, of course, and through the influence of one of my friends who was going to Carnegie Tech in those days, he persuaded me to come up here to school, which I did. By that time, I'd had my fill of music, and I decided I would go to art school. But I kept hearing the pianos, and it got so that I couldn't stand it, and I went to the registrar and asked if I could take the courses in the art school and also in the music school. And she said if I didn't care about a degree, she could put me in as a special student, which she did. So I had a very selfish college years because I took the art courses that I liked and the piano courses that I liked.
Where was this?
Carnegie Tech.
Had your family moved to Pittsburgh by this time?
The following year. I was here a year, and the following year, my family moved here. And my sisters went to Pitt.
Now, when you came, when your family came to Pittsburgh, did they move into the Jewish community? And could we go into a little bit about your...
They really didn't, because my father kept his business in Morgantown, and he only came home on weekends. And my mother was not a gregarious person.
Her family was your life?
Yes.
Well, as you while going to Carnegie Tech, you probably became familiar with other Jewish people and young people. And maybe know a little something about your early social life and social activities at that time.
Well, as it happened, we had known some young men from Pittsburgh who used to come to Morgantown for football games and party weekends. So when we moved into Pittsburgh, we didn't move in completely not knowing some part of the Jewish community here. My sisters joined AE5 at Pitt. And in time, we built up a relationship with the Jewish community in Pittsburgh. We joined Rosh Hashanah. My sisters went to the religious school at Rosh Hashanah and were confirmed. They still belong, but I belong to the Fair Life.
Are you the oldest?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you'd like to tell us something about meeting Mr. Mahomes.
My sisters were friendly with the Labowitz girls, who at that time lived in Etna. And they were sister AE5s. One day my middle sister was talking to one of the Labowitz girls, had called one of the Labowitz girls and talked to her brother Dave instead. And my sister said, ask me if I wanted a new date. And I said no at the moment. And sometime later, Dave called me for a dinner date, which we had, and became engaged on our first date.
You're a slow worker.
He was in a very interesting business. He manufactured anesthetic gases and was a pioneer in the field of oxygen therapy.
Had he a formal education in that
chemistry?
Where did he graduate?
Pitt.
Upon graduation, formed his own business, or did this come later?
It came after his war service.
He was in World War I.
He went in. His father was a councilman in Aetna, and on the board of on the war board induction
draft,
on the draft board. And as each boy in the family graduated, practically went into the army. Because the Fathers Association of the Draft Board. One, my husband did not go overseas. He was in charge of chemical warfare, a unit of chemical warfare. They sent him to Yale, where he waited out the war.
During World War I, there was quite a lot of study on gases, and with no restrictions, each country was making a wild dash to discover what they could. And you say Mr. Lebowitz was at Yale under government auspices.
To assay poison gases.
Then when the war was over, since
he became interested in this phase, and there were many surplus oxygen tanks lying around. He went to whoever it was in charge, whomever it was in charge, and told them he would keep these cylinders in condition if they'd sell them to him. And if they were ever needed again, they would be in condition to be used. And that's how he started in the oxygen business, and from there into anesthetic gases, and later in oxygen therapy.
And in what year were you married?
1927.
And did you have a family?
No.
No children?
Never had a family.
Between the two of you, you were family unto each other. And during your early married life, did you participate in activities, communal activities? When did you first become interested, and would you tell us a little bit about your volunteer work?
I came to Pittsburgh. Before we were married, I was in junior council. And after we were married, I became a senior council. The first big community thing that I did was under council auspices. I had charge of refugees coming into Pittsburgh. My job was to find them places to live and to furnish, and often, clothing. This was under the auspices of
Council.
Furnish them clothing.
Furnish house furnishing, apartments, house furnishings, and clothing.
Give them a start. This was a big project of councils at that time.
Yes. During World War II, I joined Red Cross as a staff assistant. And when they founded the Nurses Aid Corps, I joined that. And I was at the Eye and Ear Hospital as a nurse's aide for 4 years.
Had you ever been interested in nursing, or was this just something that you felt that there was a need
for? No, I had never even thought about it. But after I got into it, I was sorry that I hadn't made it my profession. I was so interested and involved.
And how long did you participate in that activity?
4 years.
4 years.
And the war was over, and shortly after the end of the war, Red Cross decided to reactivate the Nurses Corps, but physically I wasn't able to do it.
After the 4 years of volunteer in the Nurses Corps, what did you do and what activities did you participate in?
We happened to be in Arizona on Pearl Harbor Day. And when I returned to Pittsburgh, I felt that I had to do something for the war effort. Red Cross had started a series of courses. One was as a staff assistant, in which I enrolled. And then the Nurses Aid Corps was born. And I joined that and did my work at Eye and Ear Hospital. I was there for 4 years. Shortly after that, Mrs. Raymond Kaufman took a job with Council as a paid worker, and we have been friends. And she called me one day and asked me why my name wasn't on an active activity. And I told her that I was only interested in doing spot jobs. So she said, we have a new project. We're beginning with cerebral palsy children. And I said, what's that? And she said, I really don't know, but we're going over to the Bedford School, where they have a small group of these children. We went over to the school and we found 5 or 6 handicapped children making potholders. That was their period of recreation. I've always been pretty good with my hands, and I said, surely there's something more they can do than just make potholders. So, of course, having opened my mouth, I was involved, and they asked me to chair this committee. I had a summer workshop at my home during that summer, learning myself about a project that would be beneficial to the cerebral palsy child.
How many children did you have in your workshop in your home?
I didn't have children. I had a committee. The children were through school for the summer, and I had a committee. And we made things during the summer that we could hopefully teach the children to do, because they were severely handicapped. The following year, I took a course at Pitt Summer School in handcraft. I did this for 2 summers.
What year was this? About 19, right after the World War II, several years after probably. This was about late 1940s that you had a committee during the summer in your home working on projects to present to these cerebral palsy children And from there, let you take the ball.
I was with that group for about 6 years. I asked to become a member of the board of the Easter Seal Society. Trying to get more extensive potential for these children. About this time, Leonard Goldenson, who had a cerebral palsy daughter, started what is now known as United Cerebral Palsy. They sent a Mrs. Brinkerhoff to contact me. To encourage setting up an affiliate of United Cerebral Palsy in Pittsburgh. Before I would go into this, I made sure that this organization would not duplicate services already being rendered in the city through the Easter Seal Society and other health agencies dealing with the handicapped child. I invited several of my friends to a dinner. Where Mrs. Brinkerhoff told the story of the New York setup. Oliver Kaufman agreed to be our first president, and we were on our way. We had one of the early telephones in Pittsburgh a 24-hour project which grossed us $350,000. We had three of these telethons, very successful. In the meantime, United Way came into being, and we got a director from New York that we were not to join because we were afraid that certain requirements would be set. We did join United Way because so many of the men on our board were very actively involved in setting up United Way. We started our project with a clinic at Children's Hospital. We started a clinic under the auspices of my very close friend, Dr. Edward McCluskey. We felt that first we had to have a diagnosis. And this is the place where it should be done, followed by treatment.